You know, back in the day, everyone used to complain about Thursday nights, but to be quite honest, I think we all agree they're becoming quite pleasant. Welcome back to another live edition of the Highbury Squad. It is the top five transfers show, but even though it is the top five transfer show and Big Ben is chiming, that's going to become something everyone has to get used to. We are going to talk about the Europa League real quick, but joining me this evening is once again returning Mr. Super Kevin Campbell. Welcome to the show.
Good to be back. Good to be here.
He's always ready, as is this fella from one of our favourite pods and good friends of the show. They're loaning him out tonight. I think we got a good deal. Mr. Dan Potts from Same Old Arsenal and the host of the Same Old Arsenal Friday Night Team Talk.
Cheers, people. Absolute pleasure. Absolute pleasure to be here. I love coming on this show and talking to you guys on this podcast. So I'm looking forward to this one. It's been a tough time for me the last few days trying to talk about this football club. But I tell you what, I'm bang up for this. So, thank you for inviting me on again. So,
love. Oh, we're loving having you. We tried to mix it up a little with Kevin Says Q&A fan forum. And then we had the, if you didn't catch it, the comparing Arsenal players to movie characters last night, which was just a departure and a little bit of fun. And then tonight we're going to play executives. We're going to play the Cronkies. We're going to play like we're billionaires, but not quite, because I don't want us to get too carried away with thinking that we can sign, like, I don't know, Lewandowski or somebody like that, because that's just not going to happen. Although he's probably old enough for us to sign right now.
Give it five years. It'll come.
All right. So, Super Kev, I just want to start with you real quick. I tweeted that a young fella called Balogun looks like a slice of Ian Wright with a splash of Super Kevin Campbell. And on that right side, you could even argue the way he kind of, you know, got into that shot. It was a little Thierry Henry-esque type too. I'm not putting labels on him.
So why are you?
Because it's fun to watch and it gives everyone something to talk about.
Put labels on the young man. Don't do it, Soph. It puts too much pressure.
Sophie,
you're right. The comparisons, I understand. Mm-hmm. He's got an eye for goal. He knows where the goal is for sure. But the problem is he's so inexperienced. And it's great that he gets a goal, but he needs experience, because we can't. I know a lot of the fan base wants to give the kids a chance. Dan's one of them. Give these kids. But when things are going bad, you cannot put that pressure on the kids. It's not right.
I know, but it's just sometimes, Dan, as well, when you see a player take a goal a certain way, it takes you back, especially as we're using the rearview mirror, even though you guys know my saying is I only use the rearview mirror to check my lipstick. You can't help but look back and think of Wrighty getting into it and putting his weight into the shot. Super Kev, the way he used his body to get behind the ball, and just when you think he couldn't, he did. And Thierry kind of almost, you know, in terms of being transitioned into that striker role that became heroic. I'm not saying he's those things, but Thursday night football is fun, is it not, Dan?
Thursday night football is 10 times better than the weekend at the moment. Trust me, it's the only thing keeping me going. It's because we've got some young, bright sparks in this side on a Thursday night. And I'm with you, Soph. I think that you can compare a style. You can't compare the player. We're not saying that Balogun's going to be the next Thierry Henry. But we can say that his style is probably more of a kind of Lukaku or Drogba style than Eddie Nketiah's is to a Jermaine Defoe or Ian Wright. Listen, if they're half as good as those players I've mentioned, I'd rip your hand off. But I think the styles are clear to see. I just think there's a few players in this Thursday night games that deserve to be looked at by Arteta, but this manager doesn't want to put faith in him. And it frustrates the life out of me when I see the players that he does want to put in that are just not performing week in, week out. Try something different. Please, I beg you. I've been begging you for 6 weeks. He still won't do it. It's doing my head in.
Keep begging, Dan. Keep begging, because, begging, begging comes true. Dreams come true, but I think begging eventually can come true too. So you lead on really nicely to where I want to take this, because I think we all agree we're really good in the Europa League. We've smashed it. We're into the last 32. And, you know, sky's the limit. Let's see. We've got Champions League teams falling out as well, so things can get a little trickier. But, you know, I think we're very confident in ourselves when it comes to cup competition. So these performances, though, tonight are going to lead in into the top five transfer show. So here we are. Everyone, start getting ready and get chiming in, because we have to also look at this realistically. And I did ask Casey and Dan to look at this realistically, too, in terms of, you know, the January transfer window is really super important. Obviously, we know the summer transfer window is, as are the next two or three for the rebuild of this Arsenal. But what I want to start by asking you both, and we'll start off with Dan, because I think the Arsenal fans and our listeners want to know some fundamentals. As we go into January, who's really in charge of transfers? We know it's Adu, but who's the ultimate decision maker? Because we've heard rumours about Arteta wanting Aouar. Adu was more leaning to Partey. We wanted both but couldn't. He made the final decision. So from your understanding, who do you think is really in charge as we go into this crucial window to help elevate us?
I think since Raul has left, it's been 50-50 split right down the middle between Edu and Arteta. I don't think there's one over the other. And the reason I say that is because Vinai has come out. And by the way, if anyone can please explain to me what Vinai van Kartsham actually does, I'd be much appreciated, because I don't have a clue what that guy does. When a guy comes out and says, I have no clue about footballing affairs, I've left that to two footballing men, please get out of my club, because I want footballing men to know what they're doing at my football club, right? So the way it's been split down the middle for me is that Edu and Arteta are looking at who can make this side better. And at the moment, I don't think they have to look too far, because most of these players they're bringing in surely would be an improvement on some of the people that we're seeing out there week in, week out. So I think, in your answer to your question, Soph, I think we're going to be looking at Artu and Edu again. I truly believe they had a massive say on Gabriel and Partey. And I think moving forward, we're going to see similar in January and the summer. And before we even talk about ins, some of these players need to get the hell out. So that's
we're going to get there. We're going to get there, and you're going to have your say on that. KC, are you in agreement with Dan in terms of who's really in charge? How do you see that?
Arteta has the last say, final say, without a shadow. Remember, before he was a coach, and now we got made manager. So he has the final say. Edu, of course, his opinion is respected, 100% it is. But I think, remember, the axe falls on Arteta's head. So it's Arteta.
Okay. So here's one thing that's been worrying Arsenal fans. And again, I'm asking on their behalf. Guys, Kia is very vocal about his transfer knowledge, wisdom, experience, call it what you want, especially when it's pertaining to the Arsenal. We saw some back and forth between him and Jamie Carragher in the recent times. He's had an influence on this club for a while. Casey, should Arsenal fans be worried? What is the influence of this particular agent? And should we be concerned about who comes in and out with regards to how he can play a hand?
No. Why should anybody be bothered? As long as good players and better players are coming in, who cares? You know, for years under Wenger, there were certain agents that he wouldn't deal with who actually looked after the best players, funnily enough. So don't you think that's a bit silly? If we're a club who are trying to be the best and they're agents of the best players the club won't deal with, don't you think that's a conflict of interest there by the club to say we won't deal with them? It don't make sense.
Well, yes, in the previous regime, we know who you're talking about and which agent we're talking about. And Dan, though, I think the fact that Kia has kind of been a little vocal and has been digging it in a little bit, and maybe there's a bitter taste in everyone's mouth because the Willian deal has not turned out to be what we expected thus far. Do you think he's got a bit too much influence and should we be concerned?
The reason I'm going to say no, we shouldn't be concerned now, is because Raul was gone and Raul was in bed with Kia. I don't care what anyone says. If Raul would have stayed, we would have had Coutinho, we would have had Thiago Silva with the Willians of this world. I'm absolutely fine with brilliant Brazilian players. I don't mind. But we don't need the Brazilian players in their 30s that have had their career. I want to see the players like Gabriel, who are going to be given another 5 or 6 years of great football at their best, who are 23, 24 years old. I've got no problem with those signings. But washed up signings for me, I want to see us move forward. I don't want to see us go back. And I look at players over the years, and it goes right the way back to 2008. We don't even have to look at the last few years. We have to look at the Mikael Silvests and the Lichtsteiners of this world and the Kim Kallströms and even Yossi Benayoun had a good season for us, but his career was done. I don't want to be looking at those players anymore. You know, I want to be moving forward and seeing the likes of the Gabriels and parties of this world coming in. So I hope we've turned that corner now, but the Willian one, I had a question mark over it, and I feel that I'm right at the moment that what I'm seeing on the pitch.
Definitely. And it does concern me a little bit in terms of the fact that he still does have that relationship with Adu. As long as he brings in the best players and the right players for the club, like KC said, then we'll have no complaints. But until then, I think everyone a little bit should keep their mouth shut until we move into the January part.
That's the art part, business.
I know. It completely is. Okay, here we go with our quick five questions before you guys start wheeling and dealing. What's the real budget, Casey? What is the real budget? Look into your crystal football. Come on, get me your contact list out. What's the real budget? Spill it.
I don't know. I'll be honest with you. I don't know what the real budget is because we've got to get, as Dan said, we've got to get players out. It's a very difficult one, and
we don't really have the money, do we, Casey?
No, we don't. And that's why you know we have to sign experienced players who are on a free, because we never had that in the dressing room. Mm-hmm. We never had the experience. The experience left us, you know. So we had to get some experience in, and fair enough, the experienced player like a Willian hasn't hit the ground running or anything like that, but as a football club, we haven't hit the ground running this season, especially. So it kind of ties in, you know. So budget.
Who knows?
That's a very difficult question.
And unfortunately, the answer is not the sky's the limit on this one.
Well, listen, I could tell you this much. I've got a packet of digestive biscuits. I've got some washers.
Big Mac and fries.
And no, not even a Big Mac and fries. I've got some washers. And just over there, so I've got some drawing pins. I think we're going to have to start wheeling and dealing.
I love it. We're going Del Boy tonight.
Yeah,
baby.
Del Boy.
We are going super Del Boy. Let's get that big coat on. Dan, we know that we don't have money. I mean, these are the results of being out of Champions League football. We saw that happen to Liverpool for a few seasons. You know, Manchester United have been able to sell money because of their brand and their equity in their brand, but still they've struggled to stay in the Champions League too. It's not easy. And when you don't have the fiscal handouts from the owners, especially to do it, although you could argue that they've really put their hand in their pocket too. So with that all said, what do you think the real budget is for January?
I think the real budget for January is how much Stan Kroenke wants to put his hand in his pocket, because I don't think I'm with Kev. I don't think there's anything. I think we're looking at a situation in global football that is very, very skint at the moment because of what's happening with circumstances. And I think until players get out the door and start to release some funds from our wage bill, I think we're stuck with it. I think we're looking at 25 million, 30 million pounds, if that. So I think we have to look at being realistic about who we can get out of the door. So I think when you look at Kroenke, a lot of people point the blame at Kroenke, and while 100% he has some to blame. But if you look at what we've spent over the last 10 years, we've spent a lot of money, but look at what we've spent it on. So we have to be looking at the recruitment and saying, is it right that Salah and Mane cost the same amount as Xhaka and Mustafi? No, it's not. So we need to be looking at our recruitment. And I'm not even talking about spending a lot of money here, so, because look at Leicester. They have made an unbelievable amount of quality signings, but paying nothing. They sold Harry Maguire for 80 million, and who would you rather have, him or Soyuncu? I'd rather have Soyuncu. They're looking at going back to that to see, and Kante goes, and Ndidi comes in. Yeah, so these are the sort of things I'm looking at, is the recruitment has been so poor. You look at Liverpool, who have they spent money on? My God, they've gone to Southampton, Roma, Arsenal for Oxlade-Chamberlain, Hoffenheim, Leipzig, Hull City, Newcastle, Stoke. They haven't gone to the Real Madrid or Barcelona's and spent 50 or 60 million. They've gone and done it wisely. They've gone and backed what they believed that Jurgen Klopp wanted, and that was a style of player. So that's what needs to happen at this football club now. It's not always about spending 70 million, because we did that on Pepe. It's about finding the right player. And if they believe that the right player only costs 5 million, then I'll be okay with that. But at the moment, we've got to get the recruitment right. It's been terrible.
Look at what we spent on Martinelli. What, look at what we spent on Martinelli.
That was a free hit. Martinelli was a free hit. Because if it never worked out, it was what, 8 million quid or 6 million quid? That was a free hit. The point of the matter is, there is an arrogance about the Arsenal fan base, if we're honest, about signing players.
Massively.
Yeah, but the fans aren't the ones that sign them, Casey. The board are. No, the fans don't sign the players.
I'll repeat, Sophie. There is an arrogance about the Arsenal fan base.
Agreed.
Signing players. I'm not saying that the club must listen. I'm saying there's an arrogance about the fan base, because when the fans look at the names, and if the names don't resonate, all of a sudden there's meltdown. He's not good enough. This one ain't good enough. That one ain't good enough. You tend to find they're good enough for other teams, but all of a sudden they're not good enough for Arsenal. Nonsense.
Do you know what the truth of what you're saying is, KC, is how many Arsenal fans really knew who Upamecano was like 18 months ago, right? And the young guy from Salzburg that everyone is salivating over now, and now his value in the market is 125 million. And I'm like, just stop. Like, you all know that this 19-year-old supposed guy is now the next savior. Like, they've seen him play. So you have a point there, Casey. What is the name of that player I'm thinking about?
Dominic Szoboszlai, yeah.
Szoboszlai, thank you. Yeah. Thank you, guys. Okay. All right. So that is true, which leads us into this then before we kick into your top five. Here we go. Quick fire on this one. You saw everyone play tonight. Before you give me your top five targets, who goes, who stays? This team tonight, how does that affect your transfer dealings? Dan, I'm going to start with you in terms of who you've seen tonight and who you think makes it into this squad that we're building.
So what's interesting here is I would love to see some of these kids given a chance at the weekend. I would. I just think that they deserve it. I'm loving Balogun. I'm loving Smith Rowe. I'm loving Maitland-Niles. The reason it doesn't affect the time. The reason it doesn't,
I know, sorry, Dan, but do you really think I can pick on Casey? Come on, man. I love it.
You two are like, you're like a married couple, you two, I tell you. But there's a lot of love there. There's a lot of love there. You're cool. I think the young players there, as much as I want to see him given a chance, it doesn't affect who we should be targeting in the summer. So I'm not, for example, saying we don't need a midfielder because we've got Maitland-Niles, or we don't need a winger because we've got Reece Nelson. We need to ensure that they are not the solution, these players, that they are learning off of the fantastic players around them. And at the moment, I don't have the faith that Saliba is going to be learning much off of Mustafi. And I don't have the faith that Reece Nelson is going to be looking at Willian and thinking, wow, look what he's doing. So that's my biggest issue at the moment. When we have somebody like Cesc Fabregas coming into the side, learning off of Patrick Vieira or Van Persie off of Bergkamp, of course they're going to improve. But Martinelli and Saka working with the likes of Lacazette and Xhaka and Mustafi, I don't feel me with a lot of confidence. So I would rather say, keep these youngsters, give them the chances they need. But we need to get some players into this club still. They're not the answer or a solution.
Okay, so I need from both of you then, who does get the chance? Who do you keep, Casey? I mean,
You keep all the youngsters. Let's be real.
You don't sell any of those.
No, you keep the youngsters. It's the experienced players we've got to get out.
Okay, let's get there then. Let's get to that. So let's start with our top five transfers. And also, who are we going to ship out? But realistically, who can we ship out? There's talk about Ozil going to Fenerbahce. I don't think we're going to shift Kolasinac and Mustafi before the summer because of their contracts. Would you guys agree with that?
But you've named three players already.
Okay, so let's get to that then. Who realistically can we ship out to make room on the wage bill in January? Who's on your list, Dan? Go on, Casey. No. Go on, mate.
No, I think saying January is a bit too short. Yeah, so I think you have to say get out. Between now.
Let's do it between now and the summer and whenever. So Dan, you start with your players. Who are you shipping out?
You want me to give you the five? Yeah, that are going out. Excuse me. Okay, so here are my five, and I've done this realistically in terms of getting some money back on these players. There's no point saying there's Socrates and the Urza. We know they're going in the summer. They're going to give us no money whatsoever, right? So I'm looking at this in a way that we can replace them and have some funds to spend on players. If you're going to get rid of the Mustafis and the Kolasinac, the ones we've just said, then personally, we're going to have nothing to spend on players, right? So I've done this. My five, Hector Bellerin. Goodbye. Goodbye. Mm-hmm. Okay.
How much do you think we could get for Hector, Dan?
Well, at the moment,
you think we get 25 million?
Yeah. I would have accepted that. PSG apparently offered it, that we're saying. If that was true and wanted more, I'd have just, now looking back in hindsight, I would have gone, do you know what? Let's try and spend that in another area. But we'll get into that. So yeah, 25, 30 million tops if you want add-ons or whatever it be, okay? The next one, I know we've just mentioned not getting rid of him, but the reason is because he's actually got another year after this one, which I wasn't aware of. Seyed Kolasinac, goodbye. Get that guy out of my club. Worse than Andre Santos. Worst left back we've ever had in our life, right? Can't stand him. Awful, awful footballer, yeah? Dreadful. That's number two. Number three, Granit Stinking Xhaka. I'm done with this dude. I can't stand him. He's the worst mentality I've ever seen in my life. Soph, I know you like him, but I'm sitting there now
looking at this guy,
thinking we have got a statue in midfield that does have no athleticism, and his mentality is dreadful, in my opinion, right? So that's number three. Number four, and I know he's only just come, Willian. We got him on a free. Just get rid of the dude and try and get some money.
Like the airport, like when the suitcase just goes around, just pick him out.
Man, I've been very, very disappointed. So let's say goodbye to this dude. And then my last one, and the reason for this, right, is because we can still get some money. His contract's due up soon. If he doesn't sign in January on this summer, we have to get rid of him. Lacazette, right? Lacazette, we can still get 30 odd million for now because he's a player that can score goals. I believe he needs a partner. I do. But he's a player that can get, I think at 29 years old, we can get an upgrade on him. And I still believe that if he's not going to sign that contract, and he's not going to, let's be honest, there's 182 grand a week at the moment. So if he does sign a contract, he's going to need 250K. So I think get rid of him and replace him. So for me, Lacazette is number five. So I've gone for Lacazette, goodbye. Willian, see you later. Xhaka, see ya. Kolasinac, bye. And Bellerin, off you go. They're my five.
Don't let the door hit you on the way out, says Dan Superkev. I mean, he's looking at value.
It's a good list, and some of them lists, some of his lists goes with mine.
Okay, let's see it. Let's hear it, Superkev. I mean,
obviously, I'm just going from the top. Mesut Ozil. Obviously frees up a huge chunk of money for wages. Mm-hmm. Mustafi, seeing him as captain tonight didn't feel right to me.
Why does he do that? That's just so, that turns Arsenal fans off so much.
Yeah, but look, it's what it is. I suppose he has to play to get rid of him. I suppose if you play him,
does he have to make him captain?
Well, who else?
I know we go on seniority and time, right? Arsenal a lot. They go on who's been there the longest sometimes,
It is what it is.
All right, go on,
Kolasinac, I think his time's done at the football club. Hector Bellerin, I seriously think his time's done as well. I think for what his plus points are, there's a lot more negative. And the first thing I look at is, as a right back, can you defend? You've got to be able to defend one-on-one. And what I saw Jack Grealish do to him, No. And Granit Xhaka. I still think Granit Xhaka slows the game down so much for this Arsenal team. It's crazy. So they're my five. I could probably name 10.
Yes.
I know. I was thinking.
I could probably name 10, and we probably need 10.
Keep going.
We probably need 10 players out and 10 players in. You know, you're looking at Socrates, you know, Chambers.
Chambers.
Uh-huh. Who they'll play tonight. You know, a squad player. He's not really going to do anything as far as I'm concerned. He's just a squad player.
Do we keep Elneny? Do we keep like an Elneny and a Ceballos?
If you're going to get rid of Xhaka, Ceballos isn't our player in the first place.
Yeah, so them two,
So they're going to be gone. Guendouzi will be another one. He'll be gone.
You don't think he'll come back from his loan? And Torreira's on loan still, remember, with Atletico.
Yeah, but Guendouzi, I just don't see him coming back and seeing eye to eye with Mikel Arteta. because he's already thrown his toys out the pram. So what is that? That's nine. You know, Torreira, he's having a good time in Madrid at the moment with Atletico. Big game on the weekend. I'm covering that. Atletico, they're top of the league. They play Real Madrid, Madrid derby.
Nice.
So he's loving life at the moment. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously they had to do that deal. But the issue, obviously, is always getting players in and out. That's the
issue. You know, boys, on my list in terms of who I would keep is I'd keep Maitland-Niles, Saka, Martinelli, Partey, Gabriel, Tierney, and Reece. At this point, I've got to say, I'd be willing to listen to offers. Aubameyang, of course, I think we have to keep because we've made the investment now and we've got to turn that around somehow. Otherwise, that just looks really stupid and we look amateur hour. But I agree, Lacazette has value. I would be listening to offers for Pepe. The problem with Pepe is his value has completely devalued. We're not going to get 72 million for him. And I don't think we'd even get 40 million for him right now. And who's going to come in and buy him in a time where, you know, clubs are challenged fiscally. So that's a little bit of a tough one. But for me, that's just something that I keep praying for that works out. And in the end, you still haven't really seen, you know, the best of him. So here we go to how you transform this team with your top five transfer targets. Dan, I'm going to start with you. Who's number five on your list? Here we go, guys. You ready? Number five on your list in chat. Get ready. Let's roll. There's quite a few of you in here now. So let us know. And if you just want to, if you're listening on replay, let us know as well. And also hit us up on Twitter at Highbury Squad. Show is brought to you by Playing the Game. Go to ptgame.co.uk for your own created branded entertainment your way anytime. Dan, over to you.
So this is who I'm getting in, yeah? This number one signing, yeah?
Okay. Oh, your number one signing. All right, go on.
Yeah. I'll go from five. Okay. Five to one.
Five. Okay, so number five. Sorry, number five. No, go on. No, he's right. Makes sense. So number five is a replacement for Hector Bellerin. Now, I've looked at this dude a long time since we've been kind of linked with players at this club. Klostermann from Leipzig, right? Mm. That is my number five signing.
Tell everyone why, Dan. Tell him why.
So this is a guy who, a German defender at 23 or 24 years old, can defend to start with. Yeah, because that's what I wanted to look at with this guy, because I saw him and thought, who's this guy? Can play centre-back, can play left-back, can play right-back, but is a right-back, and can go forward with a delivery. That's all I asked my right-back to do. Make sure you can defend, but when you go forward, make sure that you can deliver, because if you can't deliver and you're going to give that ball away, you can't defend like Bellerin, so you're always going to get caught out. So this guy I was looking at plays for Leipzig. They've got some great players at the back, by the way, and he is one of them. Doesn't get the mention as the others because the other two are absolute rock solid, which I'm sure some of us will mention later. But for me, Klostermann is my number five signing to replace Hector Bellerin. I'm looking at the prices on Transfer Market. Hector Bellerin is valued at 30. Klostermann is valued at 34. Million.
Nice. KC, what do you think about that signing? I dig it.
Yeah, no, decent. But I would go for somebody who's premiership proven.
And
I'd go for Pereira at Leicester, the right back. And get him. Good player, good attacker, good defender, quick, strong, and can score as well.
So KC, do you think we can prize players like that away from clubs like Leicester still? I mean, back in the day, we could do it with our eyes closed. What do you think? Do you think that's a tough one now? Or
It's always going to be tough now because we're not where we were. But remember, we are still Arsenal. So, you know, I don't know what it will cost, but you asked me for a five. And I think right back replacement is really important.
Okay, so because you guys chose that position, I'm going to throw mine in too. And I think a couple of people in chat chose this fella too, is Max Ahrens from Norwich. We saw that there was a supposed move blocked even to Barcelona for Max. I think that in a terrible season in the Premier League, he was a shining star. And, you know, KC was talking about Premier League experience. There's something about even championship experience, you guys. Look at the... is it Watkins from Brentford that's at Villa now? No.
Ollie Watkins.
Who's doing such a great job and was a star in the championship. And I don't think, again, if we can lower our snobbery, as KC says, as fans. There's some really good players to dig into in that league, and it's a very competitive, strong league. Okay, Dan, we revert back to you, my friend. Who's number four on your list?
Yeah, I like Max Aarons, by the way. I sometimes question the ability of his defending, but great, great, promising. And Lamptey as well, someone said from Brighton, is a great shout. Okay, number four on my list was a replacement for our right midfielder that I want to get rid of. And it is the guy we spoke about earlier, because he can play as a number 10 or left or right, and it's Dominik Szoboszlai. Now, when I looked at this dude, I saw him in the Champions League because people were talking about him, never heard of him. I thought, who is this guy? But Haaland come from Salzburg. So I started to watch Salzburg thinking, are they producing some great players or something? So I looked at this guy in the Champions League. Now, the game itself, the scoreline makes it sound like he's had a shocker because they got battered 6-2 by Bayern Munich. But if I was to tell you the best player on the pitch was Dominik Szoboszlai, you'd say, no way, they lost by six. This guy had the best first half of football I've seen in a very long time. It was, I think they were 2-1 up, or maybe it was 2-2. They were really giving Bayern Munich a good game. And this guy was all over the place. He had so much ability on the ball, unbelievable vision, great creativity, was all over their free kick, set pieces, corners, was by far head and shoulders above the rest of them. And he's £23 million, which I am being told can be paid over three seasons. Let's just get him in, and he can give us the creativity needed.
It's £125 apparently now. Go on, Casey.
No, get him in, Dad. 23. We could get him for 25, I think.
Plus £1, Casey. Plus £1.
Plus a quid. And some bottle tops. Yeah.
You know, he really looks like a good player, Casey. There's no doubt about it. And there's a reason why there are a lot of teams that are looking at him right now. He's become a hot commodity, and his agent's done a really good job of teeing him up, as is his manager, really. His manager's kind of been playing part agent by doing interviews in a couple of places, saying that he doesn't expect him to stay, which adds fuel to the fire, which adds more value to his transfer. I don't know if we can sign. I say that, but we signed Gabriel and Partey, Casey, and everyone was after them too. So like you said, Arsenal has pedigree, and it still has a pull for certain players.
Yeah.
Who do you have at number four then?
Number four. Listen, I'm going to leave Szoboszlai to Dan.
Okay.
I'm going for a midfield partner for Partey.
Let's hear it.
I'm going for Wilfred Ndidi.
Ooh.
At Leicester.
Leicester are going to love you, KC.
Yeah, they're not. They're not going to like me at all. Double transfer. Go and get him. No messing about. No more soft touch. In that centre midfield, plenty of legs, plenty of toughness, plenty of ability on the ball. But no 5v2 breaking, all that kind of amateur stuff that we're seeing from this team. It's never going to happen. Never going to happen. So I want a bit of toughness, and I'm choosing mostly Premiership proven.
Yes, which is why I kind of lean towards this. I never rated this player at all. And I really think if we want to be serious and we want to build a team and also have a bit of a London core, even though it might be built on other London teams, I've actually really been more impressed with Declan Rice the more I watch him. And as I see West Ham climb up the table, he's a real leader. He wears that captain armband really well. But I'd also think that a Manchester United or a Man City or even a Chelsea would be way ahead of us of signing someone like him. But having someone like him in the team, I think he has a little bit of that Tony Adams vibe, that even like, John Terry, Kevin Nolan, these, homegrown British players that have and understand the essence of what it is to play for certain clubs. And I think that he could be one of those. So I don't know. Anyway, I also didn't have
a big talk, Sophie. It's a lot of big talk.
Big talk. And then after we
talk,
I didn't really have any. Anyway, my list at the end, I'll give it to you guys because it's funny. I'm also improvising as I'm going with your positions because I like how you guys are doing the same positions at the same time. Woo, hello. Number three, Dan, what you got?
So number three for me, this one I was thinking about for a while. And you know what? There's three names. I've gone for one. It's the replacement for Lacazette. I like Marcus Thuram a lot. Okay, from Mönchengladbach. I've got a lot of time for Marcus Thuram. The reason I'm not picked him is because he's currently playing, he's currently playing a couple of positions. So he can play out wide and he can play up top. This guy, I think, has a lot of potential. But currently, I've gone for Edouard from Celtic because I think if you look at the stats and you look at the stature of him as well, it's similar to Thuram. He's big. He can hold the ball up. He knows where the goal is. I think Edouard would do what Lacazette can do plus more. And he's only 23 or 22 years old. So I'm going to go for Edouard from Celtic.
Well, you have quite a few. You got Alex and Loki in chat that agree with you too. KC, who have you got on number three? That's a good shout, by the way. And that would probably be a good price.
Number three is the lad who we missed out on in the summer is Ouar from Lyon. I think he adds another dimension. He would add another dimension to our team from the centre of the pitch. He could play anywhere across that front, wide positions and anywhere in behind in the midfield as well. So really versatile player and somebody who, you know, I think we need desperately. Someone who could open the door.
Yes. For me, I left him out because I felt like that was hopefully something that we would do automatically. But you know how I like to also have ties at number five? I'm going to do that at number three instead, Casey. My first one at number three, LOL, Connor Cody from Wolves. Mm-hmm. I like him. I think that he's got a lot of talent. I think he's got a lot of leadership skills. He comes with that Premier League experience, like you're saying, KC. Dare I say that there's not an elegance, but I think he's really good with distributing the ball. I think he's got good technical skills, especially for an English player. So for me, when we look at,
he plays in the three, remember?
I know he plays in the three, but
a lot different with we're going to need a fight back four. It's a lot different.
But hold on one second, Casey. We always say that we signed David Luiz and he only can play in a three and he's on deck. So
yeah, but we don't want to play in a three. We want a four.
I know, but as a professional footballer, are you telling me that you can't play in that system?
No, I'm not saying he can't play in the system. What I'm saying is his distribution is playing from a three, so he gets more opportunities on the ball.
I see that. I understand.
So when you play in a four, it's a bit different.
But how long before we adapt to a 4-3-3 when he has his complete team, or he's going to tinker with it as he works his way through transfers in January in the summer?
Well, we'd like to think Saliba would come in there and play and join Gabriel, wouldn't we? We'd like to think that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, he's a player I'd like to see at the Arsenal. And I think we have to have adaptability. Don't you guys think? Ever since we put how many 500 crosses in the box and we expect Aubameyang, who never scores from a header, to get on the end of it. And we're not adaptable. You know, we have to be adaptable. Giroud used to at least give us that plan B. We used to have players that were able to give us a plan B. And so for me, I think we have to be a squad that grows from strength all the way from the back to the front and have a plan, not only a plan A when we go out in a game, but a plan B. All right. So we're on number two now, Dan. We're moving through this really swiftly. It's the Highbury squad's top five transfers. And I love it.
No, we're going to get excited now.
So I'm going to give my next one was KC. So I'm going to give that to KC. I went for Hosomower. I was really, really confident we was going to get him in the summer. But I'm not going to go for him because Casey's gone for him now. So I'm going to put this guy in who I think will slot in next to Partey as a Gilberto Silva like Casey wanted in Didi. For me, this guy was such a beast for the Ivory Coast and Toulouse. And we can get him for about 25 million. Ibrahim Sangare. Go and watch him. He is a Yaya Toure figure. It's just what we need in that middle with Thomas Partey. People would say he's quite similar to Thomas Partey, but he's not. Because Thomas Partey goes forward a lot more than people give him credit for. Thomas Partey isn't this anchor like an N'Golo Kante. Thomas Partey brings you athleticism, energy, drive, power and presence. Ibrahim Sangare is that player who will give you that Vieira and Gilberto, two pistons in the engine of midfield. I'd love to see it. So that's who I'm going for at number two, because I still feel Xhaka, Elneny, Torreira, Guendouzi, whoever it be, I personally feel like it could be Sangare. Samara is a great shout, by the way, from Lille. But I kind of prefer Sangare just because he's got that power and presence, that little bit more for me ahead of Samara. So that's what I'm going for, Ibrahim Sangare.
Physicality.
Yeah. Right.
That's a good one, Dan.
Who've you got number two, Casey?
Number two, I've got a Gunner Wilfred Zaha. I would still bring him into the football club because across that front, he can play any one of those front positions and he can be his man. This is what we lack. When you think about it, who in our front lot actually go and beat their man on a consistent basis? We don't have it. So there was talk of it about to happen in the last two seasons. And he's obviously still at Crystal Palace and he's still doing bits at Crystal Palace. I would get him into the football club. We need quality players and he knows the Premier League. And I think he'll revel at the Gooners.
Casey Newman says that your picks so far are going to cost 300 million.
Well, these are my picks. There you go.
I love it.
You wait until the last one, then you're going to find out.
Yeah.
I know.
Okay, so my tie it was second place. So Turan was my guy, I think, and you mentioned him, Dan. I've loved him for a long time. Casey and Amanda will tell you he's been on my list for a while. Strength, durability, he's phenomenal in the air with his feet, really quick, and he has this, I don't know, he feels like an Arsenal striker. He feels like an Arsenal player. There's just something about the way he's built that I love. And I know now there's, you know, more value to him and he's probably going to be an expensive buy. Even Jurgen Klopp was looking at him at Liverpool just last season too. So he's mine. Right, here we go. We're going for the number one. My tie, by the way, and two. Do you guys want to hear it?
Go for it.
Go on. Let's hear it.
Okay. It's a little bit of a Chelsea Thiago Silva move maybe, but I think less risk.
Don't matter. Come on, let's hear it.
Sergio Ramos. He doesn't really want to stay at Real Madrid. He's looking at options, probably to get a better contract, Casey, as you know, at Real Madrid, just like a lot of players do. However, there's rumours in the rumour mill that he really might be looking to move on. And
that's a leader right there. That's mentality that you need at a football club, man. I tell you that now. Everyone hates that geezer. I love him.
He's going nowhere. He is going nowhere. If we could get him at Arsenal, I'd take him tomorrow. I'd take him tomorrow. I've covered La Liga. You know I've covered La Liga. I've seen him week in, week out.
What a baller.
You know, we all say about leaders, there's not enough leaders. Well, that guy is a leader. Big time.
We need exactly Mr. Michael 87. We need a horrible bastard.
Yeah, we do.
And Casey has said on this podcast many times, we are too nice. This football club, these soft players.
Soft touch.
Right, Dan, exactly.
That's a good... Hey, Sophie.
Hey?
But that's a brilliant one, love. That is a brilliant one.
Is that a Super Kev strike? That is a Super Kev.
I love that one.
I'm telling you, I love it.
Although, I think we won't get him, but if we could, well...
Oof, get Mikel Arteta weaving that Spanish magic. Come on, him and Gabriel. Him, Gabriel, Dan, who was your right back? Remind me.
Klosterman.
Right. And then on the left, you got Tierney. And then in goal, you're going to get my number one choice. You wait for that one. All right, Dan, who do you got number one?
This is panic now. Yeah, this is getting good. Okay. So my number one signing. This guy is available in the summer for 38 million. By the way, apparently Sangare's gone to PSV, according to the chat. I had no idea that he'd gone in the summer. I didn't know that. So, apologies for my lack of knowledge there. But, okay, centre-half for me, £38 million release clause from Leipzig.
Everyone's for sale, Dan. Don't worry. Everyone's for sale. Doesn't matter. Everyone's for sale. Don't you worry about it. Sorry, go on.
That's not there. You know, let's hope so. For me, 100%, £38 million for a centre-half at 22-year-old who looks like he's got leadership qualities and he looks like the closest thing I've seen to Sol Campbell in a long time. Deo Upamecano, £38 million, slots next to Gabriel. I know I love the sound of Ramos, I really do. But for me, moving forward, Upamecano and Gabriel, and you've got Saliba, who's highly rated, we're told, if our manager would play him. And then we've got them two at the back. With a Sangare figure next to Thomas Partey, we're starting to get back to the Invincibles athletes, power, presence, leadership. captain's mentality. That's what I want. Upamecano.
Get in. AC, you can't argue with that choice, can you?
No, not at all. He's been obviously linked with the club for quite a while. And I think he's good enough and young enough to come into this team and make a difference. The only issue, and I've got to tell you this, is another left footer.
Oh.
No, forget money.
Okay.
Two left-footed centre-halves, yeah. You don't see it. You don't really see it. So that's the only thing, unless we play a three with two lefties, Upamecano, Gabriel and Saliba, fair enough. But two lefties at centre-half, there might be a balance problem there. That's all. Right, Dan, good choice. But let me get onto my one. Let me spend some more money that don't exist. Let me spend some more money that don't exist. Listen, this player, I think he's been brilliant. I wouldn't mind Messi, I could tell you that much. But no, I would go and empty Stan Kroenke's bank and get Jack Grealish.
There we go. I knew it was going to be.
I would go and get Jack Grealish now. I tell you why. Because I think the next 4 or 5 years, that player is going to develop into one of the top players around. I really do. He's getting stronger. He had some issues early on. He had some issues upstairs with his mentality. But now, nobody could question him as a footballer. He's a very, very, very gifted footballer. Some say he dives quite a bit, but his ability on the ball and carrying a team on his own and a big club. Aston Villa's a big club.
It's a bit immature, though. It's a bit immature, though, isn't he, Casey?
No, he's not immature. Not on a football pitch.
That's true.
No, he's not on a football. Gazza was immature.
Yeah, but it cost him
in the end. We're talking about talent. We're talking about improving the football
club. It's your money. Listen, how much is this transfer? 100 million? 80?
80, 100? Who cares? We spent 70-odd on Pepe.
I know. Yeah, think about that. Wow. Yeah. We could have had Grealish for like 10 more.
Another seven or eight more, 10 more, you get Jack Grealish.
Maybe Villa will do a swap deal with us.
Hey, I agree.
It's a good shout. It's a really good shout. I mean, he's such a talented guy. What he does in his private time is his choice. I mean, he got busted. Someone, you know, ratted him out. And if those pictures are real, by the way, I don't even know if they are. You guys can correct me. But yeah, I mean, he's it. He's what we're missing. He's it.
And how he's not in the England team starting regularly, I don't know.
Crazy.
I don't know. Because when he plays his part and he's not getting picked. Mason Mount's in there, who's a decent player, but he's not Jack Grealish.
Casey, what is David talking about here?
Oh, what Come is that comment? No
David,
way.
Don't play.
David, please.
Come please. On.
Did you not see the game at the Emirates?
Oh gosh. Okay.
So what he done to Bellerin?
Casey's number one. I like this shout a lot, Jordan Sancho. But then again, does that then hamper Saka a little bit if we go after a player?
Jaden Sancho is going to be about 120 million.
Yeah, he's going to be a lot more, isn't he?
You know what I mean.
Okay, so this is great. A great top five. My number one is Donnarumma from AC Milan. I'd like a keeper for the next 10, 12 years and one that, and you know, I think that what they're doing this year is incredible at AC Milan in Syria. I mean, you know, as you know, I covered Zlatan here. He's amazing. I knew that he was going to go on and do something somewhere, and I was hoping it wouldn't be to a Premier League team because I had this horrible feeling at one point he was going to go to Spurs. But just seeing what he's doing, what that Milan team is doing. But Donnarumma is one of those young players too where he's got leadership skills. I think he's good in the air, KC, with crosses. I think he's a good shot stopper as well. I think he's good with the ball, his distribution, Dan. I think he's an all-rounder. I know that he especially will be super expensive if he were ever to come on the market, and if Milan would even let him go. He just signed a deal, didn't he, again, 18 months ago or something, when he was looking at maybe going to Manchester United or I think even Real Madrid were looking at buying him. So, but I would go after a goalkeeper. Yeah. All right. That's my number one. So give me your top five, 5-1, Dan. Quick fire. Just read out those names for everyone in chat.
No worries. So number five, right back Klostermann from Leipzig. Then I have gone for Dominik Szoboszlai. Then I've in two. Then I've gone for Edouard to replace Lacazette. Then I've gone for, I went for Hossam Awa, but I let KC take that one. So I went for Samare or Sangare to partner Thomas Partey. And then Upamecano in at centre-back as my number one signing. 38 million is a bargain for him, who looks to be world-class. So they're my five.
Love it. KC, let's get your five for everyone once again.
Yep, right back Pereira at Leicester. That was five. Number four was Ndidi at Leicester. Yeah, they're going to love me, Leicester, aren't they? But
that's what someone in chat said.
I'm going to decimate them. Number three was Oar, who we should have signed in the summer but couldn't get it done. Number two was Wilfred Zaha, who's a threat no matter where he plays. And number one was Jack Grealish.
Can I just say, what I love about Kev's choices, apart from Hossam Awa, they're all Premier League proven. Do you know what I mean? They're all literally, we know they can play in this league. So I think it's important to remember that. As much as I've gone for on-form players that are in other leagues, I think it's important to remember that although they'll cost a lot more money than mine, they are certainly proven in this league. So good shout.
I think like when you look at Højbjerg at Spurs, he's actually their most important player so far this season. I know Kane and Son are too, but what he does in midfield changes that team from last season and season previous in terms of what they're able to do going forward. It's kind of a little bit that Jordan Henderson, that protection, that wall that they've got.
They've got a dog in midfield.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, they've got a dog in midfield, yeah.
Exactly. Sangare came up a lot in the chat. Jack Grealish did. We've got some players that maybe some haven't heard of as well. Renato Sanchez was a player that I really used to like, guys, and he regressed a little when he was at Bayern Munich, didn't he? But he was definitely one of those players that was, you know, sought after by a lot of people. I don't know. I mean, it's going to be really interesting to see, you know, what we're able to do and where the club goes with all of this. I don't think it's going to be easy for us. Let's get Pramod, because we adore him and is in India listening at some ungodly hour. Okay, so he's got Aaron, James, Justin Rice, Kevin Phillips, Danny. Oh, he's got ties like me, Casey. He likes to double it up. Danny Ings came up two or three times. Ty Mitchell from Crystal Palace, that's an interesting one. And if he's allowed, his number one choice would be a new manager with Diego Simeone. Very funny. I don't know if we're going to get the funds, but we've got a wheel and deal, right? We've got to get some loans in. We've got to sell what we can. We've got to send out on loan who we can. And then over the next two or three windows, hopefully we're able to reinforce the squad with some of this quality that you guys are talking about. In summary, KC, your transfer window looks good to me. It's a little bit expensive, but I will sign those checks. No problem.
See, Sophie, the thing for me is we do this, don't we? We do this. And I thought to myself, yeah, we haven't got the money. So if you got one or two, then you could say, yeah. But, you know, I quickly done an English five. So I'm just going to read an English five. I'd say five was Cantwell at Norwich.
I like
him. There was Bellingham, who's gone from Birmingham to Dortmund. There was Ben White at Brighton. Ward-Prowse at Southampton. And the piece de resistance, obviously, is Grealish. So that's a lot cheaper. But it could be just as expensive when you sign English players.
Yeah. No, it can, because their value is so ridiculously placed in the market. Actually, Lee Crofts, who's a regular listener, he's been banging the drum for Ivan Toney, but James Ward-Prowse more than anyone. He keeps saying that we could use and utilize a player like that. And he's become a leader at Southampton, the captain. But yeah, KC, the problem is...
The problem with Ivan Toney is he's only just really started playing in the championship.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, and he's going to do well. I think he's going to do well at Brentford. So let's see how he gets on.
I'm going to pull in a late one here, Dan, before I let you guys go. How go about Tyrese Campbell? How about that for a good signing, eh?
You mean player of the month, Tyrese Campbell?
Player of the month. Tyrese Campbell.
Listen, I'd obviously love to see it. I know it goes without saying it. Casey, I'd love to see it. He's a player that, in my opinion, has got a hell of a potential. I'm not just saying that because Kev's on it. I think he seems like he could be whatever he wants to be. And I'd love to see a player like that come to the Arsenal, 100%.
Unfortunately, he's just picked up an injury. Got injured in the game in the week.
No.
So,
not long term,
so,
Casey.
Well, yeah, he's going to have to see a specialist tomorrow. So. Not sure how long it's going to be. So, listen, he's only 20. He's 21 later on this month. He's got his future ahead of him. But let's see. We'll see. Hey, that will cost a lot of money as well, let me tell you. Don't get to sell him cheap. I can tell you that much.
Oh, man. Well, listen, I love it. A nice and everyone in chat sending lots of messages to Tyrese as well. And also thanks to everyone for your messages about Lucci. I'm not wearing sunglasses today because I'm trying to be a Hollywood wanker in any way, shape or form. I haven't slept all night because I've been looking after my dog. She's really not well. But so I've had to cover the eyes a little bit today. But regardless of that, this has been a good tonic fun show with you lads. I like it. I'm going to hire you. I'm going to make Kevin director of football and I'm going to make Dan his assistant. And Dan gets one of those big fat executive budgets where he gets to fly first class and eat all of those special nibbles when he's in the airport, Casey, in the lounge.
I don't blame him. Yeah, so you're keeping me at home and he gets to fly everywhere. That's nice.
you got to meet with all the investors and the bankers all of those guys, you know, the
all
sponsorship
the best, Dan,
folks.
Enjoy it, right?
Man, I'm going to love that, Casey, I tell you that.
I can imagine, mate. Nice one, Dan. Good to see you, buddy.
Yes,
you too, Casey.
Please hit the like button. We don't usually ask. We're not we don't do that enough. But, yeah, hit the like button. And thanks, Dan, for joining us. That was awesome. That was really a lot of fun. You'll be doing your show. Tell everyone where they can find you, especially live on Friday nights.
Bless you. Listen, both of you, thank you for having me on. I've had great laugh, great fun. Just what I needed to pick me up from a disappointing weekend. So I am back on tomorrow night. Me and Russell Hogg are both on the same old Arsenal team talk on the Friday night. And we have a Burnley fan joining us to look forward to the weekend's game. So please come and join us tomorrow night at 7 o'clock on the same old Arsenal on YouTube.
All right. Very cool. We're not going to ask you for your prediction because you got your show coming up on Friday. KC, you're busy. Are you covering La Liga this week?
Yeah, I'm off in the morning. And La Liga doing the Madrid derby on the Saturday and Barcelona on the Sunday.
Okay, perfect. And you'll get your Burnley predictions to us a little bit closer to the game. Safe travels to you, Casey, and just remind you.
Listen, I'll tell it now. I think we're going to win. We are due a win. We're due a win. We've got to win sometime. So it's got to be now. God, it's got to be now. Come on. 2-0 Arsenal.
I like it. I like you got some faith in here. There's some 3-1s. And Dan, repeat that time for your show. Alex wants to tune in.
Alex, 7 p.m. tomorrow night, mate. Same old Arsenal on YouTube.
Okay, perfect. And Casey, you travel safe tomorrow. And until then, let everyone know where it's at.
Listen, it's always the Gunners. Come on, you Gunners.